Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Oh, you're just singing it. That's so great. And you know what? We do look real cool, don't we? We did look real cool in the 60s.
Yes.
You were there.
The last part. Well, the last part of the 60s I was there.
In
utero.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, girlfriend?
Well, I'm a week into the cold, and I'm much better than I was last Sunday night. But I have one new symptom that I didn't have last Sunday night, which is Christine Marie has chapped lips.
You know what? I don't know what that's about. I think it's more about the new weather, or you're not taking your vitamin B's like you're supposed to, I guess, or what do you think it's about? Or
my
just
chapped lip?
Yeah. you just touch your face a lot more with Kleenex. So just dry them
off. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
I just been blowing my nose a lot, and I really couldn't, you know, I'm not a girl that gets chapped lips.
I understand.
So this is, you know, at the very minimum, it's interesting to me. And it's also bugging me a lot, you know, because I tend to overdo everything. So now I have my chapstick, and it's just like every 10 minutes.
Having a little fun.
Yeah.
Do you have a regular chapstick, or do you have, like, the new balls?
One of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because it just looks fun.
It just looks fun to hold
the one that looks like a peach or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I have a stick.
Okay. Well,
I just have a stick with that. It comes up and it looks pink.
It's just kind of fun. It's like you either have a ball in your hand or a stick in your hand. Balls and sticks. And a chapstick. And really, isn't that what life's all based on anyway?
Stick and ball, ball and stick.
all those kind of spheres. Yeah. And
just like
cylinders.
Just like when you go to these third world countries, you know, their toys are these old tires that the kids roll around, you know.
Yeah, with a stick. It's like crazy. They're so good at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's awesome. it's nice and simple. It's like, use everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see Interstellar today. Well, first of all, I just want to tell everybody that today we're going to be going solo, just you and I.
Yeah, I would consider that solo. There's two of us here.
Right.
But we are sans a guest.
Yes.
Sans an interview. And you know what? Quite honestly, I'm cool with it. I love it.
I do, too.
I love it when it's just me and you.
I do, too. And
not only that, but I wanted to say, I love you.
Aw.
Unabashedly, I love you.
I love you.
How many people do that on the radio?
Not many. Not much. You know, and ditto, girlfriend. I love you, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody feel the love tonight, not on Sunday night. It'll be fun.
I, you know what? I am feeling the love. I just was feeling grateful for you today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're getting our puppy soon.
Yeah.
In 6 weeks, and we're just kind of anticipating. We haven't even met him yet.
No, but he's alive. We got to take two of them.
Yes, and I have a feeling he's going to be smiling when we go meet him.
I know he will be. Well, you know, it's so interesting. You said you were feeling especially grateful for me today, or something like that.
Yeah, I did.
And then I heard the whole story, though, about how yesterday you were feeling grateful for me because you were doing your work, right, feeling grateful for me. And then the same, like, 5 minutes later, you guys were cursing me out. you were doing...
That was so cute, though. Dad and I were like, you know, let's just do our gratitude prayers. And, oh, we're so grateful for Julie. She's such a beautiful soul. She's so wonderful. And then we're getting ready to... It's so much easier for us when we take all of our bedding and we just go to the laundromat.
Right, put it in one big tub.
It really is so much. So Dad got it all in the thing, and he runs to get the laundry detergent, and you didn't put the cap back on.
Completely.
It just dropped and spilled everywhere, and he's like, damn that, Julie, she never leaves. Like, it was literally like Jekyll and Hyde, you know, it was like Jekyll and Hyde together again. It was like, you know, she's such an angel, St. Julie. Damn that, Julie. Doesn't she ever leave a cap on?
It didn't take long, does it, for us to be triggered?
And it was so funny because I had just busted his balls because I was making potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'm going to put some pickles in it. Could you give me the pickles? right? So he brings me three big, full jars.
Why was that?
I don't know. He just gave me all the pickles in the fridge. And
why do you have three jars of pickles that are full in
your
exactly.
refrigerator? Because I think I've been anticipating making this potato salad for a long time.
And you're like, I don't know if we made pickles.
I don't know if I don't know.
I should buy some more pickles.
They're $2. Let's just get them anyway,
exactly.
You know. But he unbeknownst to me, he had opened every jar. You know, the lid was still on. But he had,
to be courteous, right?
Yeah. And so when I picked the first one up, it just went plop, and it was just like pickle juice everywhere.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, no matter how much Jean-Nate you have on.
Bread and butter pickles.
Pickle juice cancels it out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad smell. It's a fermented smell.
It's a smell like
no other.
What'd you say?
A smell like no other.
A smell like no other.
Ode to perfume pickles.
Yes.
Deal.
Well, you have a craving for a hot dog then, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Something. I want a hot dog I know you were saying you had relish.
Relish last night. I've been having relish like last two or three days in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not usually a common thing that I would have. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
So you have to put that down in your journal.
That's an interesting thing. Oh my gosh, my life has been so boring. I've had relish three nights in a row. Holy cow.
But you know what though? That could be a good sign. Maybe you're relishing life more.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm gonna write that down. Mm-hmm. Relish life. I love that. So I want to talk, I'm going to kind of give a little outline for the days for our show tonight.
Yeah, oh, you got an outline.
I do have an outline.
Whoa.
And I got some heavy-hitting stuff I want to talk to you about.
Heavy-hitting?
And we may not get to it all, because I like to make sure that we have more than enough.
Right.
So that we don't feel we don't have anything to talk about. Hmm. And
us?
I know. We could talk all night about relish and pickles. I mean, come on.
Just, we're like the groundlings. Just throw out a topic.
Throw out a topic. Exactly.
So I don't know whether it's interesting or not, but
to
we can
us,
talk about it.
Yeah, to us, it'll be very interesting.
That's right. We love ourselves.
Exactly. You know, honestly, the best, Doug doesn't like this as much as I do. He would prefer me to be able to be with him for a couple more hours, but I always like, no, I got to go home, get ready for the radio show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for me, it's a way of ending my week sweetly,
yes.
You know, with my best girl,
yes.
You know, and having a fun time mm-hmm. and just hanging out with everybody.
I know, and we get to hear our engineer's voice. He's like so cool. And
exactly.
He's like, hello, ladies. Good to have you.
And
who gets it? How lucky are we? We get an engineer.
And I think about we're very lucky. And I think about all the experience you have as a counselor,
mm-hmm.
as a mom, mm-hmm. A psychic. You know, the experience I have as a teacher, and we're both coaches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of fun just being able to say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, this time.
Yeah.
And so I've got a couple of mother daughters.
Pull the curtain back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you reminded me that. There's these people, like, you'll see a billboard, and there'll be, like 8 or 10 people, and they're, for a company, it's an ad, and they'll say,
right.
400 years of experience.
Yeah, 125 years of experience.
Yeah.
Like, really?
And
amongst us.
So here you're talking about my experience as a mama.
Yes.
My experience as a counselor.
Right.
As a coach.
Yes.
Psychotherapist.
And we count those all separately, right?
Yeah, and did you say psychic, too?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And psychic for your whole life, I mean, since you were able to talk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, since you were
My
able
first
to...
words were, I see, I see.
But, I mean, how old were you when you won your mama of that?
I was probably about, that was not my first psychic thing, but I was probably about 3 or 4 for the first
all
psychic
right.
thing. But then, maybe about 5. When I'm just like, then I start like going, oh, yeah, I need to do this.
So we have close to a century plus in experience between us.
Oh, yeah.
And everything that we do.
So,
that's
oh, my
pretty
gosh.
Powerful.
We're pretty powerful.
I know.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Awesome.
We have so much. We have a century of experience.
Yay. I feel so old.
I don't know which century. Is it that century with the bikes that have the great big wheel in front and the little wheel in back?
You will not see me on one of those. No, let's say it's this century or like the last 100 years. That'd be good.
Okay.
Please.
Because I remember when the light bulb was invented. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't Edison. That boy Edison, he just was a media whore.
Well, you know, and back in the day you could, and it wouldn't take up much time.
No.
So that was okay.
That's right.
It's like, you're the only reporter in town. Come over here and hang out with me. I got some stuff to show you. I got a story for you, sir. I got a big story for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk like in really long passages, right?
Right. And they talk, and then like if they were mad at you,
good day, sir.
I said, good day, sir.
I said, good day.
Otherwise, top of the morning.
Exactly.
Top of the morning.
Good day, sir.
I said good day to you.
Yeah.
I said good day.
And I'm like,
And I'm twirling my mustache.
That's right. Good day to you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't pay the rent. Or something.
Why, yeah, yada.
So
tell us what's on for tonight.
Thank you. Okay.
But we also have to sell our book.
Yes, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yes.
Get it at Amazon.
Keep getting those
Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And we just talked about this, about how since we're having a puppy coming, we have to take each room before he comes.
Yes.
And declutter one more time before the puppy comes.
And, you know, are we placing bets on this, that this is going to really happen? That not that the puppy's not going to come, but that we're going to declutter each room before the puppy comes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. $5.
Yeah. Take bets.
Take bets now. Yeah. We're going to try. We're going to try our best. Mm-hmm. We'll pick the bathroom. That's
we're
easy.
But we're so excited.
I'm very excited about having a puppy.
Yeah. And Elliot's already, we're already connecting with him, you know, in the spiritual realm.
For sure. Putting our intentions out there, what kind of dog we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about a couple mother-daughter questions that I've been holding back that I think are kind of interesting that I want to talk about with you.
Mm-hmm.
And one is kind of like when it's okay to keep a secret and when it's not okay to keep a secret.
Uh-oh.
I also
I'm not happy.
I know. And then I also want to talk about, I watched a little bit of Oprah's Soul Sunday, and she had Marianne Williamson on and Brown was her last name, and she's a pastor. Can't think of her name right now, but I don't know who said this because I get confused. They're all talking about good spiritual stuff, and I don't know who says what. But Oprah had mentioned something about she's tired of people saying they need to have a bigger life and a bigger, I meant for bigger and bigger, bigger things. And so I want to kind of explore that idea a little bit because we've been talking about that a little bit, and I wanted to explore it further with you. And
I love that because you only give me just a quick like rundown because you run in for being with your boyfriend, and you give me just a quick rundown of what's going to be on the show tonight.
Yes.
And I'm just here for the ride, girlfriend.
Well, and also it's good to work this stuff out now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's our therapy.
I mean, I don't know if I want to have a conversation about the show for 2 hours about the show that we're going to have the conversation on.
Yeah,
I want to keep it a little fresh.
Hello.
I already know what you're going to say. I'm just not that surprised. And then I want to talk about two.
That wouldn't
ideas.
Be good radio.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
This is going to be funny. I'm going to talk about, if we have time, about this idea of commitment and skydiving, and then Jack Canfield. And then,
whoa.
Yeah, all about commitment.
All in one topic?
Exactly. You don't know, how do I weave this web?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then
You have an amazing mind.
Thank you.
Yes, and you are a legend in your own mind.
For sure. For sure. And then, finally, if we have time, which I just don't know if we will, we're going to talk about just a little bit of The Dark Soul of the Night.
The Dark Soul?
I think so. Is that right?
You mean Dark Night of the Soul.
Dark Night of the Soul. Dark Soul of the Night.
You kind of scared me there,
the
Dark Soul.
Thank you.
Well, I was thinking when you said that, you know, I was going to talk about my Pogo experience.
That's exactly what I want to talk about.
Which was a true Dark Soul.
I had that down as third, and I just missed it. So good.
You have it down?
Yeah, as third. I want to talk about that. We'll talk about that. We probably, because Mom met a Dark Soul on Pogo. I had to talk about that a little bit.
Did you say I met a guy on Pogo?
No, you met a Dark Soul.
A Dark Soul.
Pogo.
Yeah. Well, I love Pogo, first of all. You just have to, you know, you have to deal with that. I'm a girl that loves... Basically, I love Scrabble.
Basically, you do.
Basically, I'm a Scrabble diva. And so I probably play every day a game or two. And shall I tell my story now?
You already are, so go for it, girlfriend. I love it.
Okay, so it was last night. It was 6 o'clock, and Norm and I were, you know, we were in bed. We got the computer on our belly, and I said, let's play some, you know, watch over me, and I'll play Scrabble, and I'll play people, you know. And so I started, you know, Scrabble does it all for you, and the guy, his name, well, I guess I shouldn't say his name, but it was,
no, probably
it should
not.
Have been, you know, douchebag or something,
right.
But it wasn't. And so I'm starting my game, and I'm going to say I'm probably in the top 0.5% of all, because I have really good stats. I, you know, hardly ever lose. So,
and you don't quit the game.
No, I never, and I don't quit the game.
No,
there are
you
people
play them
that
out. Yeah.
I do. I man up. You know, I do man up, and I even if I have lost, I stay out to the bitter end. You know, and but most people don't do that. But anyway, so I'm playing this guy, and I see to the right where that you could have a little conversation. He says something like, "Well, that was the most ridiculous move. You screwed the board up." I'm thinking, oh, he's being facetious.
Right.
Or he's just, ha, 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 and I gave him a little smiley face icon. And maybe about 2 or 3 players later, he goes, "Do you?" You know, he starts, like, in caps, you know, "You are the worst player I've ever seen." And, you know, and started calling me names. And like, I hope you, he goes, like, something like, "You know you're not going to win. I'm going to beat you," or something. So,
right.
And I go, "Norm, are you seeing this?" And he goes, "Oh, don't worry. He's just trying to antagonize you, so you'll get all flustered." And not so though. He kept upping the ante. To, I mean, at one point he called me a whore.
Yeah.
And at one point he said, it was so funny because yesterday in the morning, you know, during my quiet time, I said, "You know, dear God, I want to be not triggered today. I want to be in no judgment today. I want to be open to every soul." And it was a good day. I was like,
right.
"Oh, good girl, Christine Marie." You know. And so all of a sudden, I'm playing this guy. It's 6 o'clock at night. He's calling me a whore. He's telling me I'm a, you know, I don't play the game right. And I'm starting to feel something inside my body, like in, like by my stomach and chest. It feels like fire,
right? Rage.
and Norm's just like laughing. He's like, "This guy, he's just a hater," or whatever. And then he says, like, "You, unlike you, who spread your legs apart for a home."
Yeah.
"To get a house, I worked for a living," or something like that, and I went, done.
Yeah,
you know, the D'Antoni came out of me, and I was like, you know, I wrote down, "You bipolar moron."
Yeah,
you know, "Did you not take your meds today? And if you did, you need to have them. You know, you've been misdiagnosed." And I just let him have it, and I'm like, oh, I know that. This is not what I had planned for today. I wanted to be neutral.
I had not intended this experience for myself today.
I know. I wanted to be open, and then he got quiet. I go, "Oh, I hope I didn't hurt his feelings. Maybe he's, you know, after he just, you know,
yeah, called you
everything, every
whore.
Name in the book, yeah." And so I'm like worried about it. And then he gets on again, and he goes, "You know, you're gonna lose. You know you're going to lose." And it was a close game. He was a decent player. And so I, you know, and Norm's just laughing. And that it's having the opposite effect on me where I, you know, "Oh, isn't this guy a hoot? You know, he's just a hater."
Right.
A hater, which, you know, there's got to be. At some point, you know,
what do they call those? They're not toads. What do they call them?
I don't know. But when the DSM, you know, we have all the mental illnesses mapped out. I think they should have something new.
Yes.
For the internet. There's just these haters that, you know, they're anonymous.
No apparent, yeah, they're anonymous, and so they just let
the vitriol come out. You know, it's cray cray. You know, and so I beat them. Yay, I beat him. It was like by 15 points. And the only thing I could do after I just let loose is there's this little icon where you stick your tongue out at somebody, you know. And so I was just like hitting that, you know. And so I think he wanted to play again, but I, you know, got off the
board. I'm not a masochist.
No,
or a sadist.
You know, but I felt like physically weird inside. I felt like my stomach was like kind of in knots, and my arms felt like weak. And it was just like, you know, you ask for a day where you could stay neutral, not get triggered, not in any judgment. And then Norm said, he goes, the D and Tony got the better of you, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
well, what did you really ask God, though? Did you ask to have a smooth day, or did you ask for yourself not to be triggered? Because maybe you got opportunities to test that out.
That's what I asked, but I just would not be in any judgment.
Right.
You know, because sometimes you just, like, you're in traffic or whatever,
yeah.
And you're just like, that, what, why did you do that? You know,
yeah.
Like, and you know who I am in traffic.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we have been really working on this. And I say we, like, we're not the same person. But because we're mother and daughter, we have this together, and we, you know, we read some of the same books. But you're my spiritual confidant,
mm-hmm.
in so many ways.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
we both. Yeah. So we both kind of, yes. We both can expand in the same areas,
right.
At the same time sometimes. But mm-hmm. anyway, we've been really working on non-judgment, forgiveness of ourselves and others, what that really means at a deep level. And this idea that transformation is continual, renewing of the mind is continual. So we've done coursework and classes on forgiveness, and we actually have a course, 21 Days to Forgiving Consciousness. So we've done our work in forgiveness. But
if only it would stay done.
It doesn't. You got to go deeper, right?
It rears its ugly head.
Exactly. But I was driving late one night this week, and you know, I'm noticing it's on a major highway, and I notice up ahead that this truck's back lights were really like doing weird stuff, such as like swerving. My first thought is deer. You know, it's deer season, rutting
sure.
season. These bucks are everywhere,
right,
just hanging out the highway. And I look to my left on the other lane. There's a car broke down. And then when I turn my head back to my and right in front of me to look, there's a car driving right towards me.
In your lane.
In my lane, going the opposite direction, the wrong side of the highway. and you know, it scared the crap out of me. I had
yeah.
to go onto the shoulder. And gratefully, he wasn't intentionally. I mean, he could have just headed for me,
mm-hmm.
but he chose not to. So
mm-hmm.
that was good.
Yes.
And there were a few guys behind me, and nobody got hurt, thank God. And I called 911. But it was weird because I was really angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought to myself, you weren't driving on the shoulder like, oh, I just made a mistake.
Mm-mm.
You were continually driving mm-hmm. in a lane on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah. I mean, we've had people locally that have committed suicide that way.
Right.
And taken another life with them.
Though. Yeah. And so I realized I was getting judgy. And then I just started praying, and I said, you know, please let this person feel sane, healthier in the mind. You know, maybe they're having some kind of reaction to some kind of medicine or something.
Right.
And
right.
Just
yeah,
confused.
You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't
confused.
Go to the worst thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And just let them pull over. Just let them pull over, figure it out, or be aware, like, holy cow, what's going on? And then
mm-hmm.
get over on the next lane and
mm-hmm.
go back on the way they're supposed to came. But, you know, it took me a while because I started getting really enraged. And just this idea, like, how dare you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. And you have to keep working on forgiveness. And also, too, I've been really working on forgiveness on myself for a lot of different reasons.
Yes,
but
yes.
That is, it's always perpetual. Always daily.
It was interesting, too, because you're talking about this this traffic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Norm had his big wreck, I would say,
that's an interesting style. Yeah,
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
this was a, you know, big semi-wreck. He fell asleep at the wheel, going to have to, you know, own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
He hit the back of another semi. But it was interesting because this week, Norm came to me and he goes, you know, I know we're being grateful this week. And he said, you know, I've never really got it, except for just now that I fell asleep at the wheel, and I didn't have, and he hit the truck behind him. He flew out the windshield, and then the semi in front of him was a tarped truck. And so he bounced against the tarp like a trampoline, put him back inside the truck, but he came to a stop because the other guy stopped.
Right.
And he said, do you realize how lucky I was? And, you know, we hadn't really realized at that point that, my God, there's this huge rig going 65 miles an hour, and nobody's at the wheel.
Right.
And it stopped.
Yeah. Pretty powerful.
Pretty powerful, thinking about gratitude in the sense that 30 years later, you know, we all felt lucky that, you know, everything was fine,
but not...
Yeah, we lost the truck and everything, but, you know, we were picking glass out of Norm's thighs for months, you know.
You're right.
And he had that big oozing...
Wound, yeah.
He had that wound that had a tube in it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nauseating because during the time that he was off because he couldn't drive, he worked at the popcorn shop that we had. People would like...
No, thank you, sir.
Would you like a little butter on that popcorn? It was a little oozy. It was like ew factor.
Well, it was interesting because he was saying today about that car accident, or the truck accident, that at that moment he thought to himself, oh, man, I just killed myself.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And I never knew that.
Yeah,
and
he told me that, too.
But the idea that he really, enough work was being done in his soul that this goes, wait a minute, this was a miracle. I am so grateful.
Yeah.
And then he talked about, we had a blizzard a couple of years ago, was it?
Yeah.
It's the same one that was in New York, it's about probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was in a truck accident that time, very minor one overall.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I feel so grateful for it because I think I saved a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was driving a semi, and a semi hit him from behind. And he was driving slow, and the semi behind was just going too fast and just hit him. It was a day after the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
The roads were crap. Yeah.
Roads were crap, yeah. And it was still kind of snowing, and, you know, lake effect snow and all that stuff. But he said today, he goes, you know, literally, if I wasn't there, that semi would have ran to the car in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was going that fast, but I had given myself enough of a space between me and the car that when I got pushed forward, I didn't hit him.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I mean... It's hard to say that, yeah, this bad thing happened, and it was a blessing. But it was nice to think about that today.
You know, it is, because you were telling me that Marianne Williamson was on one of the shows today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of her famous quotes is that a miracle is a shift in perception, right?
Yes.
And, you know, here Dad's saying, you know, a miracle happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, I shouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's saying too that I might have saved a life. And, and it took that long.
Yes.
To be able to, whatever has to go on in the neurocircuitry of the brain and the things have to shift, to get that shift in perception, to be able to say, you know, rather than, man, I dodged one there or whatever.
Right.
Man, that was a real miracle.
Or that was a real expensive accident that cost my family, you know, money and insurance and time and all that stuff. No, it was a real miracle there.
Right, right.
It is a shift in perception. You know, speaking of Marianne Williamson, she was on Oprah Super Soul Sunday today, and I guess I don't know who talked about this. I think, but Oprah was talking about a story, or getting an email from a friend. Not one of our closest friends, but a friend nonetheless. And in the email, it says something about having I'm looking to have a bigger life. You know, I think I'm meant for something bigger than what I'm doing right now. And she's a mom, you know, and probably, you know, have a job and just a normal life that we all have to struggle with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she Oprah said that she got another email not too long later saying...
From the same person?
The same person saying, I really believe I meant for something bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
Exclamation point. And it's kind of funny because Oprah said the same thing that I think about all the time, which mm-hmm. is, you know, who do we think we are that we can't, that we have to believe that we're meant for this big, huge thing,
mm-hmm.
and that we can't find beauty in our daily life,
mm-hmm.
the small things that really are about family, love, joy.
Mm-hmm. How do we get set up for that?
I don't know.
Because it's common.
It's the way I feel about people who have to have their own, I don't want to be judgy because I'm trying not to be.
Just let it be, girlfriend.
Okay.
Just let it all hang out.
When I hear someone talk about how they have their own charity,
mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about this. It just drives me crazy.
Me too.
Because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you know, can't just have somebody else who does it better than you take care of it. Because there's a charity out there for everything, you know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's one of my pet peeves.
I always think, oh, you figure out a way to have not to pay taxes on certain things or to get donations mm-hmm. and not pay taxes. And I get that. That's cool.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more, like you said, here's somebody saying I'm meant for a bigger life. And, you know, it's kind of a dishy territory because, you know, there probably is that impulse.
Right.
You know, and it is a legitimate impulse, and it probably is what makes the world go on in some sense.
Exactly. It's the impulse for
expansion. Yeah.
And the truth is maybe there are needs that aren't being met and then go, well, I like to make this need. Well, while I have a charity, so it'll be tax-free and I can get donations. Hi, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. A little dry there. Mm-hmm. A little hoarse.
Mm-hmm.
And I get all that. But sometimes, like when I hear people talk about it on, you know, whatever, it just drives me a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
But I was really referring to the impulse to say, oh, I know I'm wanting something bigger for my life. I feel like I'm being called
for sure
for something bigger. And I think that mm-hmm. while there's a part of us that goes, snap out of it, you know, you're missing, while you're up there in the clouds,
right.
you're missing real, genuine communication or relationship, you know, love or whatever.
Right. Because you mentioned something. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just, but so there is that, you know, that element of, you know, wanting to land, to have a little bit
right.
more gravitas. But yet, I do believe that that it is the impulse, the species itself, mm-hmm. you know, has this impulse toward life. I was just listening to Alberto Villoldo, who's this, like, great shaman. He was doing a teleclass, and I only got like 20 minutes in and it kicked me off, but he just said, you know, the species is made for longevity. He said the species is, you know, it has this wants us to procreate, but wants us to procreate early before, you know, then it doesn't really care about the person.
Right, right.
You know, but the species as a whole wants you to procreate early and get, you know, more robust children, I guess, you know. So I'm kind of in that mode where there is this impulse toward life, and I've heard some people say, you know, I want something bigger, you know, Lord, let me have something bigger, and people have called it like holy dissatisfaction,
right.
You know.
And see, there you're getting in a good point because there is that defining factor or that line you want to walk because we do want expansion. And I do believe that sometimes when we're that holy dissatisfaction or when your life seems too painful, sometimes it means that you need to upgrade
mm-hmm.
or your life's just too small
mm-hmm.
and you've got yourself in a little box or whatever. You need to expand it,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And is that different than saying, I'm meant for something bigger?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're all meant for expansion in our
right.
own right.
I do believe that. I mean, I think that's the impulse of life.
Exactly. Yeah. But I guess when I hear I'm meant for something bigger,
mm-hmm.
I hear
yeah.
fame.
is kind of like
notoriety.
Or I'm feeling like, is she telling Oprah that because, hey, Oprah, you know,
give me a show.
Yes,
on your side, one of your either radio or
do you so? Yeah, and also too, it sort of feels like, when people have talk about their past lives, mm-hmm. they're like, I was the Queen of Sheba, you know, I was Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, nobody was just, you know, the scrub.
I was a peasant with, you know, three kids on my, that I had a hard time feeding, and my husband died in a war, and mm-hmm. and literally we had to beg for our life.
Right.
Oh, that sucks. I don't want that for a past life.
Some people, you know, I mean, I think some people really do have, like, the, you know, that part, but in general, you know, somebody was like, I saved the planet, or, you know.
I never hear anybody talk about having that kind of life. It's always about saving, like you said, saving the planet, or just having this awesome, you're part of history
mm-hmm.
in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? Is that our ego talking?
Really? Yeah, I think it is. I was, you know, do you remember we were going to interview this one guy? He was a time traveler.
Oh, right.
And he had a picture of himself at Gettysburg.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And
what happened to that?
I don't know. But
he went back in time again, and we just didn't connect.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know why I'm thinking about that, but you were talking about the Civil War, and I'm like, oh my God, I remember that we interviewed that guy, and. It was very interesting, to say the least, you know.
So what we're really saying is then, Mom, what we're proposing is that it's our human condition that wants expansion
mm-hmm.
and wants transformation, wants renewal of the mind, which I agree. I love all those things
mm-hmm.
and work on that.
Mm-hmm. Except for that Pogo dude.
Yeah, really, he's out.
Yeah, douchebag.
Douchebag. But it is the ego that kind of distorts what our life really is about.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to
That's correct. Exactly right. I think it is the ego. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's got to be, there is this natural organic pulse. You know, like this. We have our hibiscus plants right mm-hmm. out in front.
Right.
We buy them every year in May, and they last till November. But the deer came in early June and literally ate all the leaves and flowers off this one. I was so sad.
And mad. But, you're like, I hate you, deer, and I love you.
But within 2 weeks, it started getting these new buds again.
Right.
And I watched it flourish,
right.
even though the deer would still come. And I thought, this is my lesson. This is my lesson that is... what life does, you know. Life wants life,
and that's what you've been telling me lately. And I really, it's been a great compass. Is that when I'm set with a question in front of me that's kind of big or even small,
right,
or whatever,
right.
I want to choose the answer that has more life to it.
Yes,
expansion versus compression. And if I'm in my right frame of mind, which I hope to be, and I'm connecting with God, Source. I hope I'm in the right spot. I hope I make the right decision and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult, though, because I try not to live with regrets.
Right.
And from an advantage point, I always go higher and higher because I can see where I've co-created with everybody else. And that sometimes that co-creation means I may not have the acceleration that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm meant to be held back a little bit
yeah.
while people either catch up or I'm supposed to meet somebody else and so forth. And during those times, though, I can be very, like, when's it coming, when the right path,
yeah.
what's going on?
Exactly. So, and you may be missing those small moments
yeah.
that really add to your life, but not in a great big way. You were telling me, was this... a Matthew McConaughey quote about it either matters a lot or...
Oh, okay. No, it wasn't Matthew McConaughey, but yeah, that's so funny.
What is it?
Okay, well, you know Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Okay. Well,
oh, it's one of her quotes.
Yeah, it's one of her quotes. No, Angel, her nemesis slash lover slash vampire with a soul, mm-hmm. when he had his own show, this line just stuck with me. Stuck? Is that a word? Stuck?
I don't think so.
What is it called? Stuck with me? No. What's the
Let's
word?
Say stuck. I like that.
what is it, though?
This line just stuck with me.
Stuck with me. Is that it? Okay.
I'm calling it.
All right.
I'm calling it. No, I'm not an English.
No, but you are a Scrabble master.
Yes.
In my mind. There you go. Okay. Yeah. And they were having some philosophical talk. I don't know with who, but he goes, the one thing I know about life, being a vampire and being around a long time, hundreds of years, is that nothing matters and everything matters.
There you go.
I go, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Nothing really matters, and yet everything really matters. And then also, too, this idea that really we need to always, more life to me always means, in my mind, as you used to say when I was a little kid, you must make lemonade out of the lemons I give you. Or out of the lemons that life throws you, you must make lemonade.
I would say that to you when you were a little
yeah.
kid.
Yeah, and that's the definition of more life.
Milk, lemonade, this is where fudge is made.
That's right. You had lots of different
I have lots of sayings.
That helped me grow up.
That's
you
right.
Know, I'm so happy.
I have them. I did threaded needle on a quilt.
That old saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Milk, lemonade.
This is where fudge is made. I have that. It was given to me for my 13th birthday. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So I want to bring up, I kind of want to change directions a little bit.
Sure.
I do have this question for you. It's about mother-daughter relationships and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go on, I just want to say to everybody, you can always get a hold of us at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com if you've got any questions, and I just want to say hi.
Yeah, please no haters.
Yes.
Although I've only had one, I think, at that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Or you can go to also Amazon and get our book, The Clutterfly Effect. You can go to our page, clutterflyeffect.com, and you can go right there to Amazon as well and tweak your way to total transformation. By
decluttering your life.
Yay. But so I was hearing this one story. It was a very touching story, and I'll try to make it shorter. It was about this woman, late teens, early 20s, probably early 20s, whose mother had Huntington's disease. And Huntington's disease is that really horrible disease that's hereditary. An extra chromosome disease, I don't know, but you start losing all your function in your body and also your mind and so forth, and you basically have a 50-50 chance of getting it if your parent has it. And so it was about the story of this one daughter. She was the youngest of five daughters, I guess, and we were seeing her get her test results back. And her older sister, she was basically raised by her older sister because her mom was starting to have symptoms. And I'll just call her name Claire, you know. So Claire's mom was already having symptoms when she was young, and so her older sister basically raised her. And her older sister now had a daughter that was very similar to Claire's age, and we're going to call her Beth. I have no idea what their names are. So Beth's mom, Claire's sister, has started to have symptoms of Huntington's disease but refused to get tested, just refused. But her daughter did, and her daughter found out that she does have it.
That Beth has it?
That Beth does has the gene.
Okay.
So she will get Huntington's disease, which definitely means that her mom does have it. Even though she had some symptoms, you know, you tell yourself, I'm not going to get it. This is just a freak thing or whatever. And Beth decided that she was not going to tell her mom that she knows that she has Huntington's. Because she said, you know, my mom's stressed out and sad enough right now. I don't need to burden her with this. And my initial response was, because you and I are so close, I might have done that. I might have held back that information.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're so close to somebody you love and you've transcended the relationship from not just you're my mother who always is the giver, you know, and I'm the receiver and you're always my support system, to by this time we're mutual or working mm-hmm. towards it. You're always my mom, mm-hmm. and so there's always a little unevenness to it. Mm-hmm. But I am, you know, I want to take care of you as you want to take care of me in a relationship and so forth. And so I wanted to ask you, I mean, what would you have thought about that? Now that this is a pretty serious situation.
I know.
But I'm sure there have been times where I have spilled the beans after a couple weeks with information. I know I have. I mean, there's been some things that have happened to me that I'm like, I don't want to tell my mom this because this will mean this, this, and this. I'm just going to hold off on this. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I spill the beans because you're my best friend and mm-hmm. I need advice and help me mm-hmm. and all that good stuff.
Which is a really different scenario than what you're presenting with this.
Oh, for sure.
This disease thing.
For sure. You know. And at one point I just thought, she's being really selfless. And
selfless?
In the sense of she doesn't want to hurt her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like the added pressure.
Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me in the old days that doctors would find out you had something terminal. I mean,
right.
they don't
right.
do this anymore. But they would just say, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Or mm-hmm. they would get together with the family
right.
and tell these people that there was nothing wrong. I mean, this really was a legitimate
oh, yeah.
way to do this. And I can't imagine, you know, that not knowing. I can't imagine not giving someone a fair chance to get their life in order, get their shit together, you know? And yes, it may be stressful, and mm-hmm. and it may be tough for a while, but people can be up for the challenge, right?
So yeah, so by Beth knowing that she has a gene, her mom then will definitely know that she's going to get it. And that, and
you, oh, you mean, okay, so you're saying her mom would know that Beth is going to get it, not that her mom has it.
Right. So Beth...
Oh, I kind of had that situation twisted a little bit.
Oh, no, so Beth took the test on her own, the daughter.
Oh, God. Oh,
the daughter did.
That's a whole different nuance.
Oh, and so it is choosing not to tell her mother
that she has
a gene.
That she has the gene.
Right, which means that she'll get the Huntington's and that her mom definitely then has it for sure.
That her mom has the gene for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to talk.
Now, I think that that's different because I'm sorry that I misunderstood
I'm sorry.
But
right.
to me, that is, you know, your personal right to not have your medical information, even if it is your mom. You know.
Right. Well, that's true.
I would feel that way. Although, one would hope that, you know, you could. You know, be truthful,
mm-hmm.
because what if someone knew something and you know, had some information or a different something or other,
right?
And because you didn't tell, you know, I don't know. These are very tricky. That medical
it is.
Ethicalness.
Well, it was interesting because in this story, I was really touched on so many different levels, but the cousins, you know, Claire and Beth. They're not the real names. I just made them up on the fly. They talked about how initially they were, you know, Beth kind of hoped that Claire would have it so they can go through this together because they're very similar in age.
Mm-hmm.
And when Claire found out that she didn't have it, it was, you know, she was afraid to tell Beth, but then also goes, you know what, it'll be great because I could take care of her then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got mad because I'm like, you know, if you knew this in your family, why have kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that they feel that their life is worth, like, hey, I don't care. I don't know. It's all mm-hmm. these things are weird conversations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying because, I mean, I remember when people would have kids to kind of farm the organs for their real kid, you know, like.
Right.
You know, you had this kid and it had a medical issue, and then you'd have another kid to get bone marrow.
Right.
I mean, just that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are just, I just thank God I don't have to make that.
Exactly, because there's so many complexities to it.
Yeah.
And there is no real right or wrong answer. I mean, in the sense of, oh, this is morally wrong.
Right.
I don't feel that way at all.
Right.
I feel that it's just hugely complex.
I do too.
Thank God to make it. So, girlfriend,
bummer.
For me,
yeah.
What do you feel like? Do you feel like if I didn't tell you something like that was going on with me for a while, something medical,
mm-hmm.
and then one time I did tell you, I mean, would you feel slighted?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
I'd be heartbroken.
That I wouldn't have.
I'd be crushed.
You'd be crushed more that I wouldn't have didn't tell you.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
the thing that was going on with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine that happening, but.
Well, then I will just make sure no matter what, I always tell you that.
Well,
I'll tell you
but I also want to respect, you know, if that's what you felt. But I would know
like
I was
crushed.
Crushed.
Yeah.
I can compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you'd crush me, but I would respect your right to do that.
You know, how dare you do this to me? Well, it's your right to do it. Yeah. Living in the United States, you get that freedom.
Yeah, the mom is like, no, too much. And then, like, but darling, you know, it is your right. And, you know, like, so, you know, I've got the split personality here going.
Well, and I was listening to Dr. Phil today. God, I don't watch TV all the time, but I do have it in the background sometimes. And
no, really?
Yeah, and I happen to have it on Oprah Channel, and she had Dr. Phil on. And,
mm-hmm.
and it was interesting because they had a mother-daughter on, and it was
really?
About daughters who were having babies when they were teenagers.
Mm.
And the one thing I got that I thought was interesting from this background of the show, because it is not a pretty picture anywhere, is just this idea that I don't think anybody gets the fact about how your decision just not messes up, changes your life. But nowadays, it changes your whole family life. I mean, when you got pregnant young, I believe your parents basically said, you're on your own, kiddo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys had to make it on your own.
Yeah, I think they said three words, adios.
Adios. Exactly. And nowadays, it's like, well, I guess we're going to raise a kid.
Yeah.
And
it's
all
a family
this
affair.
It's a family affair. And the one thing that Dr. Phil talked about, which I think is so interesting, because I agree with it completely, is that nowadays it seems like the men or the boys are nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
It's the woman who has to decide to keep the child, mm-hmm. and give it for adoption, and
mm-hmm.
then that family is the one that has to rush
I just
to take
don't.
Care.
I agree with that in general. That's what I see as well. It's like, where are these men?
Right.
You know, I want a man that's a man.
Right.
You know, that says, you know, by God, you know, I got you pregnant. We're doing this. We're going to, you know.
We're going to get Jeremy a job, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And yes, you lived in a very, very small apartment for several years, but you did it. You figured it out.
Talk about me?
Yeah.
Kind of, it was a two-car garage.
Yes, it was. Well, somebody turned that two-car garage into an apartment.
That's right. That's right. Into a castle.
Yeah. Exactly. But we had love.
That's right.
We had lots of love.
And a carport.
Yes, you did.
The garage had a carport.
Well, you know, they had to give you something. Yeah. Luckily, the front door didn't go up with a button. That would have been hysterical. That would have been too much.
Now, that would be cool now, though.
Yeah, it would be cool.
That would be cool on House Hunters. You watch that and, you know.
That would be an extra, like a special or something like that.
Well, where are these men? Where are they?
I hope they're around. I'm not seeing them, though. So I don't want to diss men, but.
I saw something, you know, like commercials several weeks ago, but this guy had like 30 babies. Seriously, or maybe 40. I think it was Ilana Fix My Life.
Yeah. Do we have Oprah on the background a lot?
We must. I don't know.
And did she fix that guy's life and all those kids?
I hope that she fixed him.
Yeah.
That's what he needed.
Well, someone needed to. I mean,
I'll just get my little snippers.
I'm thinking that if he went to any doctor saying, I have 20 kids and I don't live with any of their moms, mm-hmm. can you please fix me? He goes, Yeah, I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
Just come here.
Yeah.
I'll just tie those little, you know, tubes in a knot for you. Or however it's done. Let's just stop this madness. Mm-hmm.
We should just open up a free clinic.
That's right. By such a means for us or something like that. Something like that.
Mm.
You know.
So
I think that's then. I think that was a real when Dad has his, I'm sure I'm not spilling the beans anywhere.
What?
When Dad had his vasectomy.
Oh.
That was probably a real sign of love with you guys. It was commitment. Like, yeah. You know.
He just said that. It was so funny because he had his vasectomy, and then my mom and dad came up to visit, and my dad, who he just was a, I don't know how to say this, but he just wanted to go see porno movies all the time. In the old days. And so he made Norm, you know, go with him to, you know, he was like, he's got like ice packs on his balls. And he had to go, you know, see Debbie Does Dallas or something.
Oh, gosh. I can't even want to talk about it. It just makes me nauseated. Thinking about my grandpa and my dad going to someplace, not even on the computer, because there was none.
No, there was no computer.
I had to go someplace for that.
30 seconds.
Well, that's a fun way of ending the show. And
I agree.
So we'll just end it like that. So I want to say to everybody, thank you so much for being. We're listening to Life with the Girlfriends.
I think we can say more life with the
girlfriends. More life with the girlfriends.
It is about more life. Just like my little hibiscus plant kept growing, no matter how much the deer ate it.
And next week I will have less of my cold, as will you.
Yes.
Why do colds take so long to hang on? I just don't get that.
Now that's another question. That's another topic.
Exactly.
Think we can talk about that for an hour?
I think next we can.
Week? I think we can. We'll do it.
All right, everyone. Have
okay.
a great, great night.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.